You know what's interesting is whenever people share what they're, what the reason why they want to become members, they never say it's because of those really long worship services that we have. And that's not a segue to say this is going to be a really long worship service. Something else you get used to is the rhythms of the church, and you can hear the Catholic church across the street, their bells ring. And usually if the sermon hasn't even started by the first round of bells, people start secretly groaning inside. Oh, man. I say all that to say it's not going to be a long sermon today, so... So bear with me, and I may cut some of it out as I go, so it may, you know, if you want a better, more fuller exposition of this text, then come see me later, and I can help you with that. But other than that, let's pray before we get started, and we'll jump right in. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do, and the picture we get to see of your work in this world in ways that we don't get to see every day. And so I thank you for this good gift. I thank you for the new members. I thank you for the new baptisms. I thank you for the way you work in this world. In so many ways, Lord, you are so good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to give you a little picture of the way I kind of draw pictures between Scripture and my mind. And I'm going to do that today by kind of being a nerd for you a little bit. Because there's this theme... In this series of books that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote, and the second book is Return of the King, and there's a scene in this that I always picture when I read this passage from Romans chapter 10. How beautiful are the feet. And the scene is, so they've, you know, not every movie made of a book is really good, and usually when I read a book and then watch the movie, I'm like, eh. But Peter Jackson did a pretty good job when he did The Lord of the Rings. And so you may have read the books, or you may have watched the movies, or you may have both. I think this scene is shown pretty accurately in both. And so the scene is in Gondor, the city of Gondor, and the inhabitants of this city are under siege. They are trapped in their fortress. The forces of darkness are all around them. There are just all these many creatures and evil, and it's just all around, and darkness is over the land, and it's really depressing. It's really disheartening, because there's really no hope, and you see that clearly. And they're under siege, and there's maybe a slim hope of being saved, but they're trapped. They can't get away. And this evil is coming against the city, and the king has even given up. He's given up. He's lost all heart, and he turns over the defense to this guy named Gandalf. You guys know that, who that is. He's this wizard, and so he's trying to mount a defense, and it looks like they might pull through. It looks like they might, but then this really, the baddest of the bad, the most evil of the evil, this guy comes up, and he like walks up to the gate with this battering ram, and this gate that had never been destroyed or fallen, and all of its history of the city in three whacks because of this evil, it's destroyed. And everybody that's defending the city, they run. They can't take it anymore. The weight of the evil and the darkness, it crushes them, and they take off running. And there's only one person left. Gandalf is at the gate, and he faces this evil, this darkness. And this is what... This is what it says. This is what he says. Gandalf says to this darkness, he says, "You cannot enter here," said Gandalf, and the huge shadow halted. "Go back to the abyss prepared for you. Go back. Fall into the nothingness that awaits you and your master. Go." And the black rider flung back his hood, and behold, he had a kingly crown, and yet upon no head visible was it set. The red fire shone between it, and the mantled shoulders, vast and dark. From a mouth unseen, there came a deadly laughter. "Old fool," he said. "Old fool, this is my hour. Do you not know when you see it? Die now and curse in vain." And with that, he lifted high his sword, and flames ran down the blade. And all hope is lost. And there's no hope. And Gandalf looks at the guy. He doesn't move. And in the distance, a horn. And if you like, if you're as big a nerd as me, when you watch that movie, it is like awesome, because out of the midst of darkness is this amazing salvation from this army that they were hoping would get there, and it finally does, and they ride in, and there's still a big battle, but there's hope, and there's light where there wasn't any light at all. And you're like, what in the world does this have to do with Romans 10? So when Paul says, how beautiful are the feet, he is quoting from Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, which it talks about how his people, God's people, are in the darkness, and they're surrounded by foreign armies and bad of the bad. And that there are these people who will proclaim a messenger that the king is coming to save them. And that proclamation is light. It brings light into the world and hope. The message that they share is beautiful. And so they're beautiful. And that's what Paul's getting at. We share all of us here, we share in a beautiful message. A message of hope, a message that beats back all darkness, all evil, all powers that are arrayed against everyone, everywhere, that seem like they can beat you down. But there's a proclamation of salvation. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's a pretty amazing thing, don't you think? It's amazing, right? You can say yes or no, whatever you want to say, other than don't close your eyes. And Paul's saying that is what we are called to do. These feet are beautiful because they proclaim a beautiful noise. Noise, whatever. Every single one of us is heading for death. Every single one of us is heading for the death that we deserve. But Jesus steps in and he saves us from that. And he gives us new life. A life that we can live now in hope. It's a powerful image. It's the same kind of thing that we see in baptism. It's a picture of old lives buried and raised again to new life. It's a picture of freedom, of slaves set free. A new life free from the darkness of the past, left off in the water of new birth. This is one of the best things we can do on Mother's Day. New birth. Because we celebrate moms for bringing babies into the world and creating new life. And today we celebrate new spiritual life. It's a picture of new spiritual life. And anybody can celebrate that. We can applaud our moms who gave birth to us, and we can applaud our spiritual mothers who pour so heavily into us. Pastor Joe always talks about the three spiritual moms you have, and one of them just passed recently, to be praying for their family. But these people, these women who pour into our lives, and it doesn't have to be women, it could be men, that share and proclaim this beautiful, beautiful news. I don't know why I keep saying noise. This beautiful news. See, when you are saved, you join the forces of good sent out to help others realize what you have experienced. And I think the reason why I always think of that story in J.R.R. Tolkien is because it's an adventure. It's something that is like we all long for. We want to change the world. We want to change and make an impact on the world. And when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody confesses Christ as their Lord and Savior, their world changes completely. And it's not just one. If you lead 20 people to life, you're changing 20 different worlds for people. And it's a call to join God in his work of saving people from darkness and pain. There's a movie called Annie, and I know I'm making a lot of movie references today. There's a movie called Annie, and she's this orphanage. She lives in this orphanage, and she's adopted by this very wealthy man. And like it's like the adoption lottery. She wins it, like from nothing to a lot, from rags to riches. When we come to know Jesus, we are adopted by the King of the universe, the most powerful being ever. But who can experience the salvation that comes with Jesus? Who can find life? Who can find hope in the darkness? How can they know if they haven't heard? How can they know if no one has told them? And how can they be saved if they haven't believed? How can they hear if we aren't proclaiming the King who has come? Paul is saying that all of us have a part to play in that wonderful thing. We all get a part of this in our lives. God has chosen us, if you are a believer, if you are a follower, He has chosen us to carry this gift into the world. So I'm gonna ask you to imagine winning the lottery with me. And you guys are probably thinking, why does he always use the lottery as an illustration? Is he playing? I don't play ever. But it's just a good illustration. So imagine winning the lottery, and imagine you had as much money as you wanted to. How cool would that be if you could just help people and give people great gifts anytime they had the need? If somebody you knew needed a place to live, boom, buy a house. If somebody needed a car, boom, buy a car. If somebody needed, I don't know, medical bills paid, boom, medical bills. Because you have the money, because you have this great gift. Well, we have been given the best gift ever. This news of salvation. This news of hope and light in the darkness. And it's ours. But we also have the responsibility to share it with others. The greatest need anyone would ever have. We can share a gift of such infinite value with anyone and everyone. We forget this sometimes, though. I know I forget it. I forget sometimes in the mundane, day-to-day work, play, work, life, responsibilities, I forget how infinitely valuable what we've been giving is. It's real easy. And we go through the day, and we go through our emotions, and we forget. And Paul's saying, don't forget, because God could have supernaturally put in everybody's mind in the world the truth of the gospel. He could have just done that, but he wants us to join him in the work of what he's doing in the world, of this amazing work that we get to be a part of people beating back darkness, of people who find new life. And he invites us to join him in that work. And it's amazing. And it's easy to forget. These last couple chapters, or the chapter before this, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, Paul's reminding the Gentiles of how important what God is doing in the world is. There's tension between the Jews and the Gentiles to the point where it seems like the Gentiles are writing the Jews off, basically saying they've had their chance. They're kind of boasting and building themselves up over and against the Jews. But Paul says, keep pushing. We keep sharing. We cannot forget. And that's the larger argument that Paul's been making. Don't discount the Jews. God's purpose is to save them. His promises are sure. And we learn something about our role as proclaimers of the goodness of God. We are to proclaim God's goodness and God's works in the world. The Israelites have heard the message, but not all of them responded. They've had Jesus preaching to them, and they still didn't respond. So we shouldn't become too down or discouraged if the people we pray for and interact with don't have any kind of interest in what we're trying to share or live out. Knowing that God is in control for the results means that we don't write people off, and that we aren't crushed or discouraged by a lack of response, because we trust God to do the heart work of conversion. We're just supposed to do what Jesus tells us to do and what Paul is encouraging us to do. Rebecca Pippert, she has a lot of incredible stories as she shared the good news of who Jesus is. And she said that some of the most hardened and antagonistic people toward her when she begins to share the gospel later surprise her, because God does amazing work in the hearts of these people to change them. I hope you were able to hear the testimonies, that you were here in enough time to hear the testimonies of people who were being baptized this morning. The way that Jesus has saved each and every one of them. They're amazing stories. Amazing stories that are from the littlest kids who are afraid to die or who got in trouble. To tragedy in the life of adults and how God uses that to bring them back to Him. I hope you heard that, because those are amazing stories, and those are stories that each and every one of us have and that God wants us to share with others, because it leads them to Him. Each of you, if you are a Christian, have a story. You have a story of how God came into your life, changed your heart, converted you, drew you to Him, and now your life is completely changed. It's not what it was. And that's, if you look at your life, you will see. I can't tell you people I talk to on a daily basis who tell me what their life was, what it is now, and how much better it is. That what God has been doing is so amazing, and that without Him, they would never be in the place that they are, and how good that is. And we have that opportunity to share it with others. So I want to just close with a challenge. I'm skipping a couple of things here, so let me get to the challenge. The challenge is this. We have been given one of the greatest gifts, with the responsibility to share it. And so over the next week, I want you to pray and ask God to give you just one person in your life who you can share His goodness with in the next month. So it's a prayer, it's a deadline, and just ask Him to show who that person is and how you can share His goodness with them. Really pray that. Pastor Joe shares a story all the time, and I can't remember who it is, but it's about a guy that prays that daily, or used to, Bill Bright, I think, who would pray daily that the Lord would bring somebody across his path that he could share God's goodness with, and he would do it. And I'm asking just for this month to pray, Lord, please show me who I can share God's goodness with in this month. And start off there. Start thinking of your neighbors, your coworkers. Look around and see what the interactions. I heard a story this last week of somebody who was telling me that their neighbors were going through a hard time. And if it's you, I'm sorry, I can't remember the conversation, except for I was just moved by the fact that you were talking to your neighbor, and you said their neighbor was going through a hard time, and you said, hey, I believe in the power of prayer. Do you mind if I pray with you? And the neighbor, who kind of surprised him, said, no, that's fine. That's the kind of stuff. It's not like crazy. And you do those kind of small things, and the Lord will lead you to some crazy stuff. But just for this month, pray that. And if you really want to learn more about what evangelism is and how to do it, there's a lot of good books. I can send you to some, but there's one that I got in my email 2 days ago that I'm like, oh, this is great, and it's free right now. It's a book that's put out by the Gospel Coalition, and it's written by Matt Smethurst. It's really good. If you are intimidated by evangelism and sharing your faith, it's really good. It's 100 pages, so it's not a long book. It's really easy read. We'll send the link to that free book tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. We'll send that out tomorrow. And I encourage you to read that, to take that challenge, and try to find somebody to share God's goodness with. All right. All right, pray with me. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for moms and the life that they've given us. Thank You for our spiritual mothers and the life that they continue to breathe into us through Your word and through who You are. I can think of two or three in my life. Lord, I pray that You would Help us to see the people in our lives that we can share your goodness with. If there's anyone here today that they don't know you, Lord, they haven't found new life in you right now or yet, Lord, I pray that you would help open their hearts and their minds to the good news of who you are. How we deserve death, but you took that death that we deserve for us so that we might not have to. And that you save us out of the darkness and out of slavery to sin. We thank you for that, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.